Hey there, welcome back. We have a treat for you today. Oh my goodness, I'm actually on fire. I just finished the episode. It is so good. I am interviewing Susie Tomanchuk. Susie is somebody I am just, I like love her to pieces. She is somebody who has worked with Fortune 100 companies for the majority of her career, where she led a sales, like the head of the sales team, closing a portfolio of over like 80 million annually. Some of her clients include like ESPN, Discovery, like just crazy, crazy success story. She's part of our Powerhouse Mastermind, and she talks all about negotiation. And just from hearing her talk, I'm like, I need more of Susie in my life. Like, I need to learn from her. So we had her present to the powerhouses. They were blown away, and we knew we needed to get her on the podcast so you could get a little taste of what negotiation is. What I love about this is I didn't know I needed this skill set, right? I know when I use negotiation, and I thought there were very specific times in my business, but what I wasn't realizing was I was negotiating every day, and sometimes I was losing big time. And once I realized what negotiation actually was and what it looks like and appears in my everyday life is when I really started to get better at negotiating. So enjoy today's episode. I want you to get out a pen and paper. I want you to actually take the tangible to-dos she gives you throughout the episode, and I want you to practice. The last question I ask her, like, I swear will change my entire, not even just summer. It's probably a strategy I will most likely, it was a summer strategy, but I bet it sticks. I'm so excited to try it. And I actually think some of you are going to have the same problem, and you are going to be blown away by the answer and figure out how you can make this work too. So enjoy today's episode. Definitely make sure to grab a copy of Susie's new book. We have all the links, everything will be in the show notes, and we say them out loud at the end of the episode as well. Enjoy. Business doesn't have to be as hard as you're making it. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Well-Oiled Operations. With over 2 million downloads, it's the go-to podcast dedicated to helping you increase your profit margins while getting your time back. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 20 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Whether you're a brick and mortar or an online business owner, it doesn't matter. I've got both, and I'll show you my framework to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. It's time to get your business less reliant on you. Susie, so excited to have you here.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, Stacey. I'm super excited to talk
This is going to be a good topic, negotiation. I don't think I've ever discussed. I mean, when people hear what we're going to talk about, they're going to be like, oh, no, she has talked about negotiation. It's just that we've never like pulled out this skill set separately. And who better to have on than you to talk about it? So first of all, can you explain your background, like what you've been doing, what your career has looked like, just because I want people to hear, and then we're going to dive into some really good negotiation tactics.
Awesome. Yes. So I was a corporate executive for many years, and I worked in the part of the business that we delivered content. So I was working and negotiating with companies like ESPN, Boeing, Discovery, just a lot of those content providers. And I was doing big deals because we were talking about satellites and transponders and all this encryption equipment. And so very often I found myself across the table from the leaders in the organizations, that it's definitely CTOs, CEOs, CBOs, all of the, the likes. So I had to learn how to negotiate. And my aha was around, you know, I have three young girls, seeing them starting to negotiate and living kind of some of the things that they saw me and emulating me. And as an executive coach, seeing how negotiation just makes us better humans.
Yeah.
And so now I'm just on this mission to get people really comfortable with it.
Yeah. Okay. So can you just break down in the simplest form, like, what is negotiation? Like, what do we think of? What do you actually see? I want to hear that.
Yeah. It's everything. You know, there's like kind of the low stakes and the high stakes. Mm-hmm. And we typically label negotiation in those high stakes situations. We think about buying a car, buying a house, negotiating your salary. Those are the things that we label kind of those high stakes. And yes, they're high stakes. But the lower stakes ones are just as important sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. It's everything from pressing your snooze button in the morning because you've made a decision to get up early, but suddenly when that 4:30 alarm goes off, you're like, didn't sleep that well. Inspiration of my future self. I better go back to sleep.
So you're negotiating with yourself. Some people every morning, it's the first thing they do is they negotiate. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. I love that.
Absolutely.
Love that. Okay. So this is an everyday skill set, and it's not just depending on who you work with. It's even within yourself. So this is something that everybody needs to be listening to. Okay. Love this. So like, this is already just exactly what I was hoping for. Okay. Why do you find that it is so important to normalize negotiation for business owners? Like, why are you on a mission to do this?
So, you know, as a business owner, we do need to be able to be good negotiators. Yeah. It's expected, but having said that, it's liberating. We all come to negotiation with a different relationship based on the past. And it could be good and bad. And mostly it draws out some negative emotions, mm-hmm. but just having the awareness and the intention around it in everything we do allows those high stakes negotiations you can be more prepared for.
Yeah.
So you can practice these things along the way in a conversation, a difficult conversation that you might have with somebody on your team. Thinking about that vendor and anchoring an idea early on.
Yeah.
And then when you find the things, I don't want people to become the negotiator that is manipulative and
right. It's not at all what you're.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But how do you start to try some things, get some wins, some new opportunities right now.
Yeah.
And then when the stakes are high, you're more confident and ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Love this. So there are definitely some, like you had mentioned, the big things where you think negotiating, like you're walking in the car dealership and you're like, I'm going to get a good deal, right? Or the house, or those are big ones. But yeah. Then as business owners, there are ones we do deal with all the time. And it could be, I just got off of a call. So I'm like very fresh into what people were asking me. Happened to be talking about pay, which, oh my goodness, right? I was getting questions like, well, Stacey, what if, you know, I gave this person a raise, but then she found out from somebody else that this person was making more than her already. And she wants another raise, but I just gave her a raise. So now they're basically negotiating back and forth. So I think it comes up a lot when it comes up to money. It can definitely happen even with, you know, negotiating back and forth of what's expected, right? Absolutely. Do you see that as well? Yeah. So as we're looking at things with your team, things with your clients, I mean, bad boundaries. When you've asked somebody to do something and they're not following it, and then that's popping up. Yes. And then you said like, as well as it's with yourself. So there are just so many directions we can take this podcast, and I can pick your brain in so many ways. Now, I know you have a specific framework for really kind of starting to practice negotiation and to kind of dive deeper. What are some steps for us to even just be aware of when and how we're negotiating on a daily basis?
Yes. And so the framework is really helpful with that. So the number one key, and when you ask seasoned negotiators, they say preparation is everything.
Okay.
And so preparing, meaning like everything from, like you said, what are all the interests of mm-hmm. What are the interests to me? What's the interest of the other party? I like to look at the world in leverage. And leverage can be even your confidence.
Yeah.
Or what you think of the other person, the power that they have. So even taking that time to brainstorm everything allows you to be more agile in that moment. And the key is when you're in the negotiation, how are you as clear as you can be, objective as you can be, so that you get to the end that you want.
Okay. I love this. Now I'm going to tell you something I do, and you can totally tell me if this is wrong. Okay. I'm open to being wrong here. You're the expert. So if somebody asks for something and they catch me off guard, whether it's a raise or like just something else, or they're almost trying to get something that's not normally given. A lot of times I will actually say, oh, like, interesting. Let me like write down what you're asking and let me think about it and I'll get back to you, versus putting me on the spot and now I have to answer. And then maybe I regret giving them the extra something or the raise. Is that okay? Is that okay strategy to be like, I got to think about this?
Especially if you're unsure.
Okay.
If you have a plan and you're very sure, if it's a person that comes back to you many times, or you want to give them homework, mm-hmm. or you want to give them a firm kind of like, no,
okay,
that's fine. But what you're doing is giving yourself space.
Yes. Okay.
And taking control of it on your terms.
Okay. I love this. I really thought you were going to tell me I was wrong. And I just was like deflecting. I'm like, okay, but I agree. I feel like I'm almost backed in a corner. And you're making me answer something that I wasn't, like you said, preparation. I wasn't prepared to answer. And now you're making me off the fly just think of something. And I'm just asking for a moment to think about it before I answer. And I love that you're saying prep is like part of it. Okay. Amazing. Totally. Keep going.
Yeah. And on the other side, I actually tell people, ask a question they're not prepared for. Because there is. And so like, you know,
we can if it's not ways, you,
that's a good strategy on their side.
Yeah. Right. Because some people will answer and now you've got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as a business owner, this happened to me the other day. So we have to be aware of these things is I had put out a big number to a client and I felt really nervous about it. Verbally, she said yes. And then she told me to put it in writing. And so it was like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous to put this in writing. Mm. So what I do is I write an email and I send it later because it doesn't feel like me like sending it.
Yeah.
And then when I got the email back from her, she's like, yep, looks good. Can you throw in one more thing? And my immediate response was, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm going to give her 6 other things because I'm so excited. So I gave myself space. I didn't answer right away. And in an hour and a half, my response was, sounds great. I'd be happy to do that one additional thing. So understanding ourselves and our emotional triggers can help us in that moment. Like you said, you were like triggered. Take a step back, take some time.
Yeah. I love that. Well, and we just purchased a home and then we were negotiating for some furniture and things like that. And I think one of the things that Kent and I were good about was with that prep part, we had our numbers set. So it was like, listen, especially knowing it was Florida, this could be a bidding war. This could be, you know, above offer. And we just said like, here is our top number. We're not going past this. Here's what we would take for the furniture. If it's more than that, we'll buy our own. So I think just like the more space you can give and the more clear you can be, I just felt so much more confident doing it because both of it worked out in our favor, but I was also really confident. I wasn't making a quick decision and it was just rushed.
Yes, that is so good. And being super clear about your walk away.
Yeah.
And thinking about even what that would look like or how that would feel.
Okay.
Because sometimes walking away is scary. So anticipating that, you know what, if they say this, I'm going to be like, thanks anyway.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Okay. You just reminded me too. So in our call today earlier, somebody was going to demote somebody and I said, well, she could walk away. So let's think about that. How do you feel about that? And she was like, she's very replaceable. And I was like, okay. So now, you know, you can, the worst case scenario, she walks away and you're like, I can easily replace her. Right. Yes. So all these little things are popping up. So, Susie, so good. Okay. So what happens after preparation?
Yeah. It's that awareness. So it's knowing when you're prepared and you know, like you said, what your walkaway is and what your floor and ceiling is, then in the moment, you can really respond to what's going on the other side of the table. Because just as you want to keep your emotions pretty straight, you also want to make sure that that person doesn't get nervous or apprehensive because they're not going to be able to stay clear. So you want to, in the aware being, thinking about, okay, what else, what other information do they need? Why are they asking this question? What are the things do I need to ask them to better understand their position? And then thinking about, okay, are they ready to say yes and close?
Okay.
So that awareness is about being like, really, you have the map. Now you're helping to guide the other person.
Yeah. So good. Because I'm even picturing, you know, when somebody's trying to sell you and there's like a turning point of like, this no longer feels good. They're feeling pushy.
Yes.
This doesn't feel right. They're not aware of how you're feeling in that moment, which is making you push back. So really even thinking as you're selling or making offers or any of that, not just about how you're feeling, but how are they perceiving this? How are they feeling?
Yep. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Because we assume, you know, one tip that I was going to give was all about your relationship with no. We assume that it's easy for people to say no, but it isn't.
No.
And so when we assume that, we don't like to hear it because we think it's going to come a lot. But we thinking about that relationship with knowing what you're going to do and understanding, like you said, understanding that what is in your head is not in theirs. Don't make that assumption.
Okay. So good. Susie, you're knocking it out of the park. This is such a good episode already. Okay, what's next?
The close. And okay. You know, you hear a lot around, he's not a good closer, she's not a good closer. And what that is you're not aware enough of what's going on and what you need to do to move it forward. So whether it is timing, what do you need to do for them to say yes? What are the hurdles that they're still dealing with? And that close, like we've seen in retail, and as we know, as business owners, that timing thing really helps to escalate that close. So what are those things that you can apply in that moment to get there and recognizing that they're ready to say yes? Even if you're so prepared to tell them so much, just know what they need to know to say yes.
Okay. So good. And how do you figure that out when you say, figure out what they are going to need to hear? How, where, like, what is a tactical tool or way for them to start to practice that and learn that?
Oh gosh. You know, it's really simple, I think.
Oh, okay. Amazing.
You have to ask questions. In the moment and really kind of when they say no, get curious and understands, oh, tell me a little bit more. And then what that does is it gives you time to kind of reset.
Okay.
And go, okay, let me hear what they're saying. What do I need to ask them next? What are they feeling? What's their apprehension? And then asking questions that are really direct. People tend to, you know, you should know if the person in front of you has the ability to say yes. So asking, are you the decision maker?
Yeah.
Or understanding clearly from them, are we going to be able to walk away today? If we are, I'm ready to move quickly if you will too.
Okay.
So that finesse, it takes a bit of finesse, that relationship finesse.
Yeah.
The higher the trust. So taking time to really build that rapport can help you get there quicker.
Oh, so good. Okay. There's one more step, I believe, right?
Yes. Well, it's evaluate.
Okay.
And you know, we get in a negotiation and a lot of times people don't keep going like they should. They get in, they're like, check the box. I negotiated. I'm going.
Okay.
But you need to stay in it. Make sure you get what you want. Go to the close. And then when you're done, don't just like shut the door.
Yeah.
Think about what did you learn? What worked really well? What do you want to incorporate later? Because the only way you're going to get better is to really evaluate what went well. And every negotiation is different because it's a different business situation or situation, different people.
Yeah, absolutely. Different. So good. Okay. Let's go back to the alarm clock. I actually love this story that you brought up. I think a lot of us probably negotiate with ourselves or like, well, I'm actually not a snooze person, but I'm actually worse. If I decide I'm negotiating with myself and I just need to sleep or the kids woke up, I just set the alarm like an hour later. I'm not even snoozing. Like I'm not pretending to snooze here. So and I know some people like snooze it every single day. So tell us, what can we do? If we want to stop that and really just get up and get productive, how do we do that? Like, what are some tips or tools for negotiating within ourselves?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is awareness and going, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't just happen at the alarm clock. You know, in that situation, it's high stakes. If you're doing a marathon in a week, that is a high stakes snooze button.
Yeah.
Or a re-alarm, you know, versus if it's just, so understanding the conditions of negotiation and being really smart about that,
okay.
thoughtful. And then understanding that we get in our own mind about, we accept what's put in front of us. We don't see the opportunity to negotiate. We might adjust our perception based on what we're seeing from the other side. If they use fear or emotion against us, then we can negotiate with ourselves. So it's all about having a coach on the outside that can help you, especially if it's a high stakes situation.
Yep.
Stay in it and get what you need to all the way along until you get better.
Yeah. And for me, I think too, the more motivated I am, or I should say the more clear I am, almost like the preparation piece.
Yep.
If I am prepared with what I want to do in the morning and I wake up knowing I have that thing to do, or that like, this is what maybe I'm writing a chapter of my book, or if I know that's what I'm working on versus, well, like I'm not really that prepared. And when I get in my office, I'll figure it out. It feels a little easier to hit snooze or to go back to bed versus like, no, I am supposed to be doing this thing and now I'm choosing not to.
Yes.
So I think that is helpful for sure, is kind of that clarity piece as well. And then kind of going back to what you said with evaluating, like some days I feel good about my decision of like, no, I really needed extra sleep. Like Tegan came in our room 2 times and I was exhausted and I feel good that I listened to my body and I slept. And sometimes I think it was totally, I got 8 hours of sleep. There was nothing wrong with my sleep. Like I just wanted to sleep in, and that's not a great excuse. Right. So really kind of keeping that in check as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's getting to know yourself along the way.
Yeah, it is. Right. I mean, it is getting to know yourself. It's like, okay, who am I being consistently when no one's watching? Right. Yeah. Nobody knows what time I'm waking up. I'm the first one up in my house. Like nobody even my house even knows. Right. So I think it is good to kind of observe your actions and then look at your outcomes. Are you happy with your outcomes or are you hoping for more? And maybe it's the negotiating within that's starting to hurt you a little bit.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about mindset. So how does mindset play a part in negotiation?
Yeah, just making that shift to seeing that negotiation happens all around us, I think prepares ourselves. And I have actually a few months ago, here's an example of mindset that you wouldn't think happened to me, but it did. So I saw a farmer's market. I made the assumption it was a farmer's market. It was a truck with these guys that looked like they had just been picking fruit. Okay. And my first thing was, oh my gosh, I don't have any cash with me. So I walk up and I say, hey, do you take credit cards? And they're like, yes. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad. I didn't even realize I was negotiating with myself, but I had already made the decision to purchase. Everything was in these like preset little things. So I was like, oh, I don't really like that fruit combination, but I was like, well, it is what it is. Okay. And, so I put it in the bag. The bag was $15, wasn't even a pound of fruit, but didn't even think about it. Still like in my own world and walked away. And when I opened it up, it was milly, not really good fruit. And it had stickers on it. They had bought it from the grocery store. I had made assumptions that this was a farmer's market and these guys came from the field, you know, like all these things happened here.
Yeah.
All these decisions, all of these things, they weren't forcing me. So mindset's really important to think about your goal and your objective. When I said about being good humans, every conversation, and when we go into it and think, what are the interests of the other party? What are the interests of mine? And what is the goal of this conversation? What do I want to get out of this? And then you can get to that goal. You do a lot around mindset. It's those principles of clarity, how you want to get through it, and having the end in mind.
Yeah. And I think too, how do you want both parties to feel? You know, a lot of people listening, they're business owners. And of course, we want our clients to feel great about the price they paid and what they got and how they felt and results or whatever it is that they're looking for. So you can't just go in and think it's about me and I've got to get this price and I've got to get this. It's like, yes, I want to get that, but I want them to get what they came for too.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And making sure that we don't create what we think they wanted, really listening to hear what they want, because sometimes we get in our own head about that.
Okay. This is so good. Somebody keeps trying to sell me on something and I'm always like, you keep selling me on what you want me to want.
Yes.
And none of that stuff I care about, but they're not listening to me. So every time I see them, they're like, have you done this yet? And I'm like, I don't want that. Like you want that. Don't put it on me. So if people were to ask better questions, I think they would be getting so much out of the people that are buying or potentially could be buying. So really listening and taking that back to negotiation would 100% change so many sales outcomes.
Absolutely. And asking a question and practicing silence,
which is hard,
which is so hard to do.
So hard. I mean, I audit the sales calls and I have had to repeatedly say to certain salespeople, you talk too much. You're talking more than them. You're not talking. You're asking questions. They're talking. They're like, I know. Like it's so difficult to just listen to somebody.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So to give everybody a really tactical way of what I'm saying about listening and grabbing that and then reselling it back to them. So for instance, if somebody were to be calling up my dance studio, and we ask them a question like, so what are you trying to do? Like, what are your goals for your little one? If they say, you know, competitive team or dance in high school or dance like professionally versus, oh, meet friends, like, you know, just have fun. Like, just maybe she needs to be more active. We just want her to like move around, whatever. Okay. If you don't know those answers and you start pitching how amazing the studio is and like our kids go to Broadway and they do this, and the mom is thinking, I just want her to meet a couple friends. Like, I don't really want her to go to Broadway, right? It's like, you have to know, and then you have to hear what they want and resell them the thing they brought up. Yeah. So if somebody says to me, like, we're looking, you know, we just moved to the area, we just wanted to meet some people, I am going to talk nonstop about the friendships and the people and how she's going to meet and how we help them facilitate that and all of that. I'm not going to bring up the other things they're not asking for. Yeah. And I think that's what I was bringing up before, was people are trying to sell me on stuff that I'm not asking for. So I have zero interest in it.
Absolutely. And it goes back to that mindset, because what you're doing sometimes feels so easy. All I'm doing is repeating what they said. And so it feels like we're just being obvious.
Yeah.
But it feels different to the other party.
Because they feel heard.
Yes.
They're like, she gets it. Like, Susie totally understands me.
Yes.
And then they think I should buy from her. Like, she's on, yeah, like 100%, versus the opposite of, I say something, you repeat something different, or you go a different direction. I'm like, she wasn't listening.
Yes.
Feels really different. Okay. Yeah. So somebody listening right now is thinking, wow, I had no idea I was a negotiator, or I need to be a good negotiator. Where would they start? What would be something, I always like to get like an action item, like something they can do to get started this week to move in that direction.
I'm going to give you two.
Amazing.
I might give you three.
Okay.
Because it's so hard.
Yeah, that's fine.
First of all, you know, they say the stats say that we're horrible listeners to the people around us.
Mm.
And so practicing silence, start with the people around you.
Mm.
Because we get used to this regular cadence of conversations and this lull. So it's really easy. When you practice silence, you're interrupting that. And then you can get more comfortable with using it in real life application. So be thoughtful about silence and watch what happens. Allow yourself to see the shifts that happen when you give time for people to think.
Okay. So for instance, this morning, we live in Wisconsin. The weather is like 85, then 62. My children are very confused. They're like, why are we, mom, everybody's wearing shorts. We're not wearing shorts. I'm like, no, you wore shorts yesterday, but today it's jeans. Like, okay. So when I'm negotiating with them, I now realize, like, I negotiated this morning and I think I did a really bad job.
Yes.
Okay. So
problem solved.
Okay. So I'm going to think about that tomorrow, because I probably have a repeat of what's happening. Okay. So good. Keep going.
Another one is just prepare.
Okay.
Be thoughtful before you go into a conversation, even if it's not a difficult conversation, it doesn't feel like it's high stakes. Ask yourself, what is my goal?
Mm-hmm.
What are the interests of the other party? And what do I need to be aware of? And even taking those simple, you know, 30 seconds as you're getting on your Zoom, or, you know, just being intentional about your meetings will shift your awareness around getting through to what you want.
Yeah. So good.
And then the third would be mindful of your relationship with no. Mm. If when you hear it, it's a starting point, and push through it.
Okay.
And also practice saying no. Those boundaries and being able to say no without emotion, with empathy, but no excuses.
Yeah.
And just start noticing that, because that's kind of the start of pushing through those conversations to get what you need.
Love that. Okay. Another question for you off of that.
Yeah.
I have pretty good boundaries when it comes to like Facebook groups and like going in and helping and all the things. I have horrible boundaries when it comes to Voxer. I've been thinking about just like cutting Voxer out of my life. Is that one of those things where it's like, you should, or is it like, well, no, Stacey, you just need to learn how to control yourself on Voxer.
So why is it different from those other platforms for you?
Okay. This is totally it. It's on my phone. I keep nothing on my phone. So I can't go. I don't go on Facebook on my phone. I don't go, like, I do all of that, which sounds crazy. But when I go check like our Powerhouse Facebook group, I'm on my desktop because I think I can type faster, right? So with Voxer, I don't need to type. So I'm like, oh, it can be on my phone. So that's where I'm breaking it. So what are you saying? Get it off my phone.
Yeah, exactly. And see what I did there? You asked me a question. I didn't answer the question. I asked a question.
Okay.
So like sometimes we need to give people the ability to get to it themselves and also hear what's going on for them.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have known the answer without having you say
that. Oh, that like literally, I just feel like I had a breakthrough. I am so, I'm just like, well, it's there. I'm buffering with it. I'm kind of like, I'm not doing anything. So I'll just glance at Voxer and then somebody message and then I respond right away. And they're like, Stacey responds on a Sunday. Like, wow. And I'm like, no, I don't want to respond. It was just like me being, but if it was on my computer, I wouldn't check it till Monday. Okay. You're a genius.
Helped a lot of people.
You're a genius, Susie. That was so good. Okay. Where can they find all your stuff? And first of all, you have a book. So everybody needs to go buy the book. I'll let you explain that in a minute. But how do people hire you right now? You speak, like share just like if anybody's like, ooh, I want to know more about Susie, feel free to share. This is good stuff.
Thank you, Stacey. I am like so passionate about this topic, if you can't tell. And so
good at it.
Thank you. I really want to spread the word, and whether it's, I love to do keynotes around what are some of those things that you can incorporate and get people really excited about it. Cause people need to understand the shift needs to happen.
Yeah.
So I work with teams now. I do team building around this and talk about best practices, whether it's increasing influence for that team within their organization or that individual, and advocating for yourself and talking about that. My book is The Art of Everyday Negotiation Without Manipulation. And
definitely grab Susie's book. We'll put the link here in a minute.
And I have Negotiation Love allows you to get on my network, but it also has a freebie around preparing.
Okay. Negotiationlove.com.
Negotiationlove.com. And there'll also be some information about a new course that is going to be out by the time this airs.
Yay.
And it's getting people to make that connection for themselves so that they can be better professionals, better peers, better business owners, so they can see it all around them.
Yeah. So good. Where's the book? Do we go to Amazon? Where do we find it?
Yep. You can get it on Amazon.
Okay. Amazing. Susie, thank you for sharing your amazing expertise with us. I mean, if I'm having breakthroughs on my own podcast, you know, this episode has to be good. So thank you so much. Everybody go check out Susie, get her book. If you have a podcast too, like definitely reach out. Not that you're for sure. Yeah. She's going to negotiate with you, but definitely reach out to Susie as well. So thank you for being here so much, Susie.
Thank you, Stacey. My pleasure.
And that's a wrap. If you're loving the Well-Oiled Operations podcast, then I know you would love our Well-Oiled Mastery program. It's a 6-month program for you and your team to help you get the business running like a well-oiled operation. We pull back the curtain and share all of our systems when it comes to marketing, fulfillment, and operations. We guarantee to increase your profit margins while reducing your time by 25% or your money back. Head over to welloiledoperations.com and get your business running like a well-oiled operation today.